for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Thursday evening service of May the 25th, 1995, of the Memorial Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker for the evening.
Brother Tommy Cook, and get your Bible ready and get ready to use it, because if you want to write, get a pencil and ready to write, because you'll need to do a lot of writing. Brother Tommy will come and minister and close the service and minister as the Lord leads the word and in the prophetic word as the Lord moves and anoints him. Brother Tommy Cook.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you again tonight, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you for those who have gathered together, Lord. We believe we're here for a purpose. Lord, it's no accident that any of us are here tonight. We believe we've come in the will of God. And Lord, we thank you for drawing us to this place. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your anointing, and we thank you for your word tonight. And again, Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our pathway. And the entrance of this word will give light to us, Lord. And we give you thanks and praise. Without you, we're nothing. We can do nothing, say nothing. We have no ability apart from you, but we trust in you tonight to help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, and we all said amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Good to be back with you, sharing the word of God. I mean, this word is life to us.
Amen.
The anointed word is life. I was thinking in the scripture, in Job chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord." How many know we've done that here this weekend?
Amen.
But something else happens. "And Satan came also among them."
Oh, yeah.
So, think it not strange if there's warfare in this campground or in your life and my life. Amen? Maybe in your church, in your home, wherever. Then look down to chapter 2, verse 1. He says, again. It didn't just happen once. I mean, no, the enemy doesn't give up too easy.
That's right.
Says again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So we have to discern the enemy. I mean, the Lord saw him, but I wonder if the brethren saw him. I mean, know that we need more discernment tonight to know not only what God's doing. And if we know what God's doing, how many know he'll show us what the enemy's doing? That's the key, isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Let's go over to the book of Revelation tonight. And what I'm going to tell you tonight, how many know you're not going to get to these end time truths without deliverance and the help of the Lord. And we all need deliverance. I believe in it, don't you? You know, a fool would... Actually, a man is a fool who doesn't believe in deliverance. How many believe that? He really is. He's a fool if he doesn't believe in deliverance. Now, whatever kind of deliverance comes, we need it. I mean, no, not all deliverance is the same. But thank God for whichever way it comes. Isn't that right? I'm for it, whichever way it comes. But in chapter 12 of Revelation, and you know it's important, too, that we know that God wants to seal us in this end time. I believe that God wants to seal his people, don't you? And we've got to be sealed in this end time. I believe there is a sealing of the soul that must be. And I believe that's part of that deliverance, getting our minds renewed, God doing a work in our hearts and in our minds, submitting to the Lord, breaking soul ties, calling back your soul. There's a lot of things we could go into about this soul. Now, I've preached on the soul many times over the many years I've been preaching. And I know that when you preach on the soul, you really come under the attack. I mean, the battle today is in the mind anyway. But the enemy doesn't want you to get set free in your soul. But in chapter 12 of Revelation, are you there? Look in chapter 12, verse 1. Let's all read verse 1 together. Now, I won't go into this in deep depth, probably like I did in our fellowship, but I want to get into it. I love this book of Revelation, don't you? How many ever read it? How many's afraid of it? How many know we need it? Let's read verse 1 together. I always come out here tonight. I think I'll just preach out here. How's that? And there appeared a great wonder or sign where? Where's this sign at?
In heaven.
In heaven. Okay, good. And a woman is clothed with something. What's she clothed with?
The sun.
How many know that symbolical language tonight? Okay. And the moon is somewhere. Notice. Under her feet and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, this is not just any woman. This is the church. This is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many believe that? This is not only the bride of Christ, but this church has God's blessing upon it, God's approval. Let me tell you, God didn't approve everything. There's a lot of things today that God's not approving it that's going on. How many believe that? There's a lot of groups that God didn't have a stamp of approval upon, but there are those that He does. Praise the Lord. And I want to be in that approval, don't you? I want the will of God in my life. How about you? And I believe you can have it. I mean, no, you can have the desire of your heart tonight. You can have the desire God puts in you, okay? And that which is good. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of things we desire is not good, but the things that God puts in us, those desires are good. Isn't that right? Amen. But it says here, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, and this woman's clothed with the sun, the moon's under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, before we go into that, look back to Genesis 37. Genesis 37, we see a vision Joseph had back here. And how many know that Joseph had a lot of dreams? But the problem was he was telling everybody his dreams. And how many know there's a time to keep your mouth shut? Come on. There's a time to speak. There's a time to not say anything. But in Genesis 37, in verse 9, as he dreamed another dream. Praise the Lord. If you had one dream, how many know God will come and give you another one? Hallelujah. How many thank God for dreams tonight? I have a lot of dreams. He shows me a lot of things in dreams. And I thank God. I write them down a lot of times, and sometimes I forget. But anyway, you got to watch how you interpret dreams, though, especially your own. But he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars. Of course, he made the 12th sun, but the 11 stars made obeisance unto me, or they bowed down to me. He told it to his father, to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. All right, in this dream we see that Jacob represents the sun, doesn't he? Can you see that? And the mother represents the moon, and the suns represent the stars. That's in the Old Testament here. Praise the Lord. But how many know it's different in the New Testament? Let's go back to Revelation 12 now. Hallelujah. The sun over here in Revelation is not Jacob. Who heard what I said? The sun is not Jacob in the New Testament. The sun is Christ. How many know he's arising with healing in his wings at S-U-N, Malachi tells us. Isn't that right? Then look in Psalms 84. Look in Psalms 84. There's a scripture here we'll talk about for just a second concerning that sun. Now, I'm going to teach. I'm not preaching. I like to teach. I like to hear good preaching, but I like teaching too. Psalms 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. So the Lord's our sun tonight, isn't he? He's our shield tonight. Praise God. That sun, S-U-N, in Revelation 12:1, is Christ himself. It is his righteousness. Let me tell you what else it is. It is the glory of God, and it's the light of God upon that woman. Amen? Now look in John 17. Look at John 17. I want to show you two scriptures here in John 17. And Jesus prayed here in John 17 to the Father in verse 5. And Jesus here praying said to the Father, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I mean, Jesus existed with the Father before this old world was made. Amen. Pre-existent Christ. Okay, now look down to verse 21. That they all may be something. Who wants to be one with him tonight and with each other? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, verse 22, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have done something with that glory. I've given to them. Oh, hallelujah. That, here's the reason, they may be one, even as we're one. I mean, oh, God wants us one, to be one, and we cannot be one without that glory. No way. Now go to Revelation 22, or 21, rather. Revelation 21, and let's look at the scripture here together. And verse 11, John is seeing the bride, the Lamb's wife, the Holy Jerusalem, the people. He's not just seeing brick and mortar coming down, you know, over Hot Springs, Arkansas here somewhere. How many know this bride's a people? Do you know that? Do you know the bride of Christ is a people? Is Jesus married to stones? Is he married to walls? Come on, he's married to people, isn't he? Paul talked to the Corinthians. I've espoused you to one, what? Let's look at it. Second Corinthians 11. Hallelujah. Let me look at that first before we go any further. I've espoused you to somebody. 2 Corinthians 11. It says here, notice. Hallelujah. Verse 2. I've espoused you to one husband. There it is. That I may present you as a chaste virgin. Now, in that chaste virgin, how many know there's purity? And with purity comes power, and with purity and power comes perfection. How many know God wants to perfect the church? Of course, through the fivefold ministry, of course. All right, back to Revelation 21 now. Let's go back here. We see something here in chapter 21, verse 11. As John sees the bride of Christ coming out, down from heaven, it's in verse 11, having the glory of God. Now, notice, having, not gonna have it, but having, possessing, walking in it. How many know that the glory of God is real tonight? But we don't have all of it yet. Amen. Don't kid yourself. I mean, it's like deliverance. It's little by little. And I believe that coming into the glory of God and the power of God, how many know it's little by little sometimes too? Isn't that right? But having the glory of God and her light, notice that, her light was like unto a stone. Go back to Revelation 4 and you'll see that stone. How many know that's the Lord? How many know God's not a hard stone up there somewhere? Come on, amen? But her light was like a stone most precious. Notice that. Even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So we see something here. She has the glory of God and she has the light of God. Now look up down to verse 22. Look in verse 22. It says here, I saw no temple. And yet over and over in the New Testament, the Bible talks about the temple of God. And John sees no temple. How many know we're going to be swallowed up in God?
Amen.
Come on, amen? All these little temples are going to be swallowed up in the big temple. Praise the Lord. I saw no temple there, and for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of what? Of the sun, the natural sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. This city has the glory of God and the light of God. So that sun, S-U-N, Revelation 12, 1, represents God's glory, God's light, Christ, righteousness. It is Him. Praise the Lord. She's all lit up. Now, how many can see also that this woman represents a queen? Now, what's she got on her head? Come on. A crown. How many know those who win Miss America have a crown on their head? Isn't that right? Which means she's won. There's victory. Crown speaks of authority, speaks of a lot of things. Now look in Psalms 45. We may not get out of verse 1 tonight. I can go and go on that one. There's just so much there with the help of the Lord. In Psalms 45, look in verses 9. King's daughters, it says, are among thy honorable women upon thy right hand. Hallelujah. Did stand somebody, the queen, in gold of Ophir, which is the finest gold. And then you'll come on down to verse 13. Notice, the king's daughter is all glorious somewhere. I mean, oh, God's doing a work in us. A lot of our preaching is out there, but I want to tell you, the real preaching's on what he's doing in here, in you and me. Amen? Christ in us is still the hope of glory, isn't it? And notice, he said in this verse that she's all glorious within. Paul talked about that glorious church, full of the glory of God, or doxa. Her clothing is a wrought gold. Notice that, which is God's divine nature. Now look at verse 14. She shall be brought to the king. She shall be brought to the king, not just any way she wants to come. How many believe that he's preparing this bride to come into meeting? But she's not just going to come anyway, just like a bride in the natural doesn't just, is getting married. How many know she doesn't come just any way she wants to. Come on, amen. She's decked out, isn't she? Come on, she's prepared, she's ready. How many know that deliverance, like brother and sister Coffey minister in, that's part, come on, of getting us ready. Amen? And all the ministries we have here is part of getting this bride ready tonight. Praise the Lord. And I thank God we need every ministry that God's raising up in this hour, don't we? Amen? You know what? No one man, no one woman has it all. If they think they do, they're fool, isn't that right? Deceived, come on. God designed the body, the fullness be in the body, isn't that right? Amen. Now, look at what he says here. He says in this chapter 45, she'll be brought to the king in raiment of what kind of work? Needle. How many ladies work with a needle? Come on. You use your fingers. What's the fingers represent? Apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, evangelists. How many know God knows how to stick you? Where to stick you? When to stick you? Why you should be stuck, and whom to be stuck. And that needle goes in, come on, and out. In and out. It's embroidered work. Actually, it's what he's saying here. And so God is doing a work in her, in us. We are, hopefully, part of Revelation chapter 12. Amen? Praise God. Now, let's go back there just a minute. So, she's a queen. Now, in Revelation 18, I'll just read the scripture while you turn to chapter 12. In Revelation 18, how many know there's a false queen? There's a false queen. And it's that harlot church. She said, I sit as a queen, but she's a false queen. But God has a queen. God has a bride. Hallelujah. Again, that he's put his approval upon and that his glory and light is moving into. Praise the Lord. So in chapter 12, verse 1 again, notice, not only is the sun upon this woman, but there's a moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, how many know the moon has no light of itself? When you see moonlight, how many know you see sunlight secondhand? Huh? And we know the moon, how many has ever seen pictures of that moon? It looks like a dead planet, doesn't it, in the natural, up there. The moon up above our heads. Isn't that right? How many know there's a lot of death in the church? Look in Revelation 3. I want to show you something here. A lot of death in the church. God, when I say the church, I'm talking about us. Amen? Don't think we're perfected yet. If we think we are, again, we're fooled and deceived. Chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write. Now, here's one of the seven churches John's writing to. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, which is that fullness, and the seven stars, I know thy work, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, but he said something else here. You're dead. Now, isn't that strange? They said, we're living, and Jesus comes along and said, no, you're not living, you're dead. They were deceived, wasn't it? I mean, is this red letters in your Bible? It's Jesus talking, isn't it? And so here's a church that thought they were living, and yet he said, no, really, the truth is, you're dead. And so, maybe he could point that out to individuals, you know, or to churches, or whoever today, but I mean, no, death is a real sign of death when you really see it, isn't it? In the natural. God help all of us come out of death. Now, this woman, actually, there's two women here, really, in verse 1. You have the bride of Christ, and then you have the moon. How many know that moon represents the church, too? But where is the woman standing, though? She's standing on that moon, isn't she? How many believe there's some things you've come out of that your feet's on today? Huh? How many of there's some traditions? Come on. And old ways, old order. What's the old order? It's the way we think. And how many know there's a lot of old stinking thinking in us yet? And God wants to get it out. Come on. And so she's standing on the moon. In fact, she came out of the moon. She came out of that deaf church. Come on now, amen? She came out of that deaf realm of traditions. Now, there's a problem. How many know that when you're going on for God, somebody back there is going to persecute you? Anywhere you stop along the way, if you're not careful, you'll persecute those that's going on for God. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Let me know those in the outer court who want to just stay there will persecute those who want to go on and pray in tongues, come on, prophesy and cast out devils. Isn't that right? And those who in the holy place want to do those great things can persecute those who want to move towards the Holy of Holies. Come on now, don't shout me down. Hey, listen, I know people in deliverance and healing and all these wonderful things that don't want anything to do with sonship. And yet I know people in sonship don't want anything to do with deliverance. I mean, it's time to get together with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We need it all. We need every bit of it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so there's a moon that's under the feet. Now, we saw in the Old Testament that the wife represented the moon. It's a woman in the Old Testament. And so we've come out of traditions. We've come out of things that we've been in. Thank God for that. And I thank God that He's called us out of those things on up into a higher plane in the Lord. Amen? But we have not yet arrived. Let me believe that. Now, it says that before Jesus comes, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, it says the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into what?
Blood.
How many has ever read that? And I'm not doing away with the scriptures, but how many know also that word turn means to be turned over to blood? And you look up the word blood, it's also Adam. How many know that Armstrong walked on the moon, when was that, 1969? He took a big giant leap, you know, for mankind to put his foot on the moon, did natural moon. And yet right here, somebody in Revelation 12 standing on the moon. Neil Armstrong had nothing on this woman here. Come on, amen? Now, what I see here is three things. I see, number one, the glory of God in this woman. Okay? The sun clothing her. Two, I see authority and dominion in this woman because she's standing on that old order of things. And three, I see apostolic authority. How many stars in her crown? 12. 12 is the number of what? Come on. Government, which is authority, see, divine government, but so it shows us that in this end time woman or church or bride of Christ, there's going to be apostolic authority in her. I mean, thank God for that. But a lot of churches don't want apostles, Brother Christian. They don't want prophets. Come on. They've had the pastor, they've had the little teaching and maybe a little evangelist, but they don't want the others. But how many know we need all five? Will not be perfected without the fivefold ministry. Isn't that right? Never. Praise the Lord. And then so we see the glory of God. We see authority standing on the moon. We see apostolic authority. I said that wrong. We see the glory of God. We see she has dominion. And we see apostolic authority. Now, our government. Now, the problem in the church is we see the church is not set in order. And we want to do it in the flesh. It'll never work, will it? Now, I believe from the glory of God will come our authority in God, our dominion in God. And out of that authority and dominion will come also government in the church. And so this end time church must have his glory, that dominion, and that apostolic authority. Thank God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for this woman. So, God has put a stamp of approval upon this one. Now look at verse 2. And she, having a good time, no, and she being with child, cried, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. How many know she's in labor pains? There's a lot of pains right here in this woman. There's a lot of travail that we're getting ready to enter into that we haven't entered into. There's a travail here that some of us hadn't entered into. Don't kid yourself. I know some of us have entered some travail, but I believe that the fullness of that travail has not yet been seen yet, as we're going to see it. And I'll tell you something, this woman's going to enter persecution like she's never entered persecution. And I know there are those that say there's not going to be any more tribulation coming, but I got news for them. And all these years, God's talked to me about tribulation. Tribulation's coming. But how many know God's getting us ready for tribulation? I said, God's getting us ready. Our demand to preach it recently said, we've been out of the wilderness 200 years. If that's so, the man-child's never took the throne yet. Come on now, don't shout me down. Amen?
Amen?
Tribulation's facing us. Praise the Lord. But God wants us to get ready for it. I mean, in the world, you'll have tribulation, Jesus said.
Right.
Now, look here in verse 2. She being with child cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. Turn over to Isaiah 13. Look at one scripture here. Hallelujah. Isaiah 13. And look down to verse 6. It says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pains and sorrows shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one another, their faces shall be as what? Flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. And notice it's in the time when the stars, the sun, and all, and the heavenly bodies are going to be affected. Amen? Amen. I mean, when Zion travails, she's going to bring forth her children.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen? And I'm telling you, there's coming a travail upon the real church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ, like you have never seen and I've never seen. And it's going to be in a great time, a great persecution. And it's down the road here just very closely. How many know already we see signs of persecution hitting the church already here? And I mean here in America. Isn't that right? You know, I never agreed with Jim Baker, some of the things he did in the natural in his own private life. But how many know that they didn't do him right? Compared to what the SNL's done, come on, with the money, and the Congress has done with the money, and others have done with the money. But they made him a scapegoat, didn't they? And that was a sign to me, okay? And I believe we're just beginning to see many come into persecution. And it's coming, brethren. We got to get ready by the help of the Lord. How many know we have nothing to fear but fear itself? Now look at verse 3. He says something here to us. There appeared, I'm just really going over these fast, there appeared another sign in heaven. Now the first sign was the woman, right? In heaven. Now in the same heaven. Now that means this heaven has to be impure because you got a dragon there. How many know things are impure? How many know this heaven is not where God the Father is residing tonight? Come on. No, there's no devil in heaven. How many know God kicked him out of heaven? Yeah. He's gonna face that lake of fire one of these days, isn't he? But look at this verse. He's in heaven. There's a sign, there's a wonder of this dragon in heaven. And notice what kind of color is he? He's a red dragon. How many know he's behind all bloodbaths? Come on, all wars. The red horse in Revelation. Remember when the seal is open? The second seal, I believe, second seal, the red horse, speaks of war, communism. Satan's behind that. And yet here he is a red dragon. Amen. Having seven heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now, how many know that Satan wants to be worshipped? Now, not only does he deceive the world, but how many know that he deceives people through religiosity? So the woman's a church. You got to hear this. The woman's a church. The moon's a church. And yet we have a religious organization coming out from the enemy himself. And how many know that organization is one's going to persecute the real church?
Right.
Who persecuted Jesus? Huh? Look over here. That's right, Doc. Look over in Thessalonians. Let's turn over there. Glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, maybe. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians. I'm in Colossians. 1 Thessalonians. All right, chapter 2. Chapter 2. Look in verse 14. It says, for you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of who? The Jews, who both kill the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and hath persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sin alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. How many saw that? Huh? Who is our greatest enemies even today in school and prayer? It's religious establishments. Besides, you know, some of these atheists. Who knows? How many know that's true? There's a lot of Jewish people, and I'm not against the Jewish people, per se. How many know we shouldn't be against anybody, really. But how many know a lot of them don't want school and prayer? Prayer in school. No, they don't. A lot of them don't. A lot of churches don't want it. A lot of preachers don't want it. Back in chapter 12, it says here that this dragon is in heaven. He's in heaven. And you're reading Revelation 13 where people are worshiping the dragon as well as the beast. Isn't that right? How many know that's happening today? Sure it is. You see it. I see it. Look in chapter 12 now. What's on his head? Seven heads. Come on, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. 7 heads. Let's just say it this way. 7 kingdoms. How many horns? 10 horns. That's 10 kings going to rise up out of the earth. Now, look over in Revelation 17. I want to show you that this bunch is against us. How many know we're against them too? In the Lord. Not in our flesh. We can't whip anybody in our flesh. Come on. It's got to be in the Lord. Chapter 17 of Revelation. Look at verse 10. It says, and there are thee, that word there means these, and these are 7 kings, 5 have fallen, 1 is, the other not yet come. When he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was, is not, even he's the 8th, and is of the 7, and goes into perdition. And the 10 horns, are the 10 kings, which thou sawest, or here it is right here, are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received powers, kings, 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind. Man, we need the mind of Christ. These have one mind and shall give their power and come on and strength to the beast. Shouldn't we give our power and strength to the Lord and the work of God? Come on, amen. These shall make war with who? Where's the Lamb at tonight? He's in us. And as Sister Coffey said, if we're not in war tonight, we're not doing anything. Huh? I mean, no, it's not really you the enemy just hates. It's the one in us he hates. Of course, it's going to affect you and me. But he hates the Lamb. It will affect you. Yes, it will, brother. These shall make war with the Lamb. And notice, the Lamb shall overcome them. Amen. Through you and I. Hallelujah. For he's Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful, which are the overcomers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, war's coming. War's here. Amen. War. Now, let me show you why this woman in chapter 12, before I go any further, is not natural Israel. I mean, a lot of people believe this is natural Israel in chapter 12 of Revelation. Let me tell you why it's not Israel. How many know Israel tonight is not in the heavenlies? Look in 12:17. Look down to 12:17 in your Bible. And notice in 12:17, notice the dragon was wroth with this woman, the church, and now goes to make war with the remnant of her seed, which do something. Two things. Keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Natural Israel does not have the testimony of Jesus tonight. But the church does. And this woman is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. Because when Jesus was born, he wasn't caught to the throne. When this one is born, God takes him to the throne. Hallelujah. Can you hear that? Amen? Hallelujah. And 33 and a half years later, after Jesus died, of course, he went to the throne, didn't he? John saw the ascension of Jesus when he left the Mount of Olives. And yet, this is end time, future events. John is also seeing. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. This ought to get us excited tonight. Jesus is coming. But he's not going to come until he gets a people prepared and ready for his coming. I mean, he wouldn't come till John was raised up. And now he prepared the way of the Lord. Amen? God's preparing a way for these overcomers to come forth and get us ready for his return. And so we see this great red dragon now here. Then in verse 4... I'm just skipping over a lot of things. Look at verse 4. He has a tail. Now, in Genesis 3:15, how many know the Lord, the Bible says that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. It didn't mention the tail. It says the head, a controlling factor. Now, but he said that also would bruise your heel. Of course, that speaks of Jesus on the cross. But how many know the devil's after your walk life? Yes, sir. Now, you can talk about it all you want to, but when you start walking it, that's another situation, isn't it? Come on now. Your opposition increases. Now, at the end of this age, the tail is vibrant. The tail is after the people of God, isn't it? Look at verse 4. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. Now, notice now, stars of heaven. Now, in the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, stars represented the Old Testament saints, it represented the Jewish people, it represented the angels of God, and it represents, even in this time, the people of God, the saints of God, the overcomers as well, our people of God, I should say. But notice this tail is drawing the stars down from the heavenly into the earth, or carnal realm. Now, you read Isaiah 9. Let's just look at one scripture on it. I could give you a lot on this. I have a lot on the tail I've studied over the years. But in chapter 9, one scripture I just want to give you here. Verse 14. It tells us what the tail is. Now, if you know what the tail is, it helps you to understand. Now, we know the devil's a spirit. He's a fallen angel. But look here in chapter 9, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and the honorable, he's the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. So the prophet who lies, who teaches lies, this is the tail of the dragon at the end of the age. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Next verse. For the leaders of the people that cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. So it's going to bring destruction to those who follow lies. Is there lies in the land today? How many of you ever felt like you'd like to get a shoot and throw it to the television, some of the things you hear and see in religious circles? I'm telling you, there's lies being projected all over this country and all over the world, as far as that goes. But in chapter 12, these stars come down to the earth. Now, here's what I want you to see. Right before the man-child takes the throne, and the woman is about to bring forth, of course, the man-child, right before that happens, we see there's going to be many stars fall out of the heavens into the earth. It's going to be a lot of falling away. And I see two things happening, falling away and yet God moving in a mighty way. Now, you can see that in Matthew 24, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, right? And yet in that same context, he said, the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Amen? I'm going to tell you, brethren, we need to take an inventory tonight of ourselves, where we are in God. How many know there needs to be individual repentance and judging ourselves? I can't judge you. I need to judge myself first. Amen? Praise God. But I'm telling you, the stars are coming down. God spoke that to me years ago. He told me that. I'll never forget it. He spoke that to me into my spirit. He said, the stars are fallen. Amen. I could show you many scriptures on it. Now look at verse 5. Notice, she, the woman, the church, the bride, brings forth a man-child. A man-child who was to rule, or literally shepherd, all the nations with a rod of iron. Now, why did it say a shepherd's staff? Because a shepherd's staff is wood. I mean, oh, that's carnality. That's the flesh. But here he said it's a rod of iron. I mean, oh, that's the rule of the Spirit. I said it's the rule of the Spirit. Now, and you can trace that over to the scepter in Hebrews 1 with that scripture there. How many know that the king has reached his scepter out towards Esther? Remember that? Hallelujah. And she was brought in to the king. And how many know we just cannot go into the king any way we want to? He's got to extend that invitation to us. Isn't that right? And right here, he's extending the invitation to us, out to those that attain to this realm. I say us. Those that attain. And she brought forth a man-child who was to shepherd literally all the nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, God is a spirit, isn't he? God is a consuming fire. God is light. God is love. God is the word. And so this woman brings forth these overcomers. You say, how do you know they're overcomers? Well, because you go back to chapter 2, it tells us here. Let's go back to chapter 2 of Revelation. Have I lost you tonight? Okay. We're just... Chapter 2, verse 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. How many know the nations are not in heaven? They're here. And he, the overcomer, shall rule or shepherd them. Here it is, just like Revelation 12:5. Here he said, the overcomer shall rule or shepherd them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Now, the same promise given to Jesus is given to the overcomer. And then he said something else. I will give him the morning star. Notice that. Amen? Notice, I want to give you three things here. Now, look at this. I'm going to give him power over the nations. He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And I'm going to give him the morning star. Who's he talking about? Who's he talking to? The overcomer, the man-child of Revelation 12:5. Now, he tells three things here he's going to give to those to the overcomer as they overcome the Jezebel of this church. Speaking to Thyatira. Do you know that was the longest letter of all the seven churches, Thyatira? Do you know it means burning of incense? You take it over to Jeremiah. How many know they were burning incense to the Queen of Heaven? Come on now. How many know people still burning incense to her? They're still worshiping the Queen of Heaven. God told me years ago that the Jezebel was the Queen of Heaven. He told me it was dying of the Ephesians. It was the worship of Mary. It was a harlot church. He spoke that to me and told me that. I tell you, we see the harlot everywhere, don't we? And I've not only God spoke that, I've seen the Jezebel spirit different times of visions. He showed it to me. I've been in a place and I'd see the thing different ways. I mean, it can come different ways. You know one way it comes, Brother Coffey? Look over in Isaiah 14. Just touch on it here just a second. Now, I said touch on it. You guys will finish it now. Isaiah 14. Look at Isaiah 14. Hallelujah. How many know there's something called the mystery of iniquity? And it's a mystery, a secret, you see, something hidden. Okay, look in Isaiah 14. Look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. Now look at number one. I will ascend into heaven. He never made it, did he? Huh? I will exalt my throne above. Come on. Who are the stars of God? The sons of God. Hmm? Three, I will sit upon the congregation, a man of the congregation, in the sides of the... I mean, oh, that's God's dwelling place. Probably around us somewhere here. Come on now. I'll be like the Most High. But notice, he said, I will. I will. I will. I will. Five I wills. Now, you know what Jezebel said? I will get the vineyard for you. Remember that? Hallelujah. She falls right in this category right here. I mean, oh, this is an exalting spirit, and it's the Jezebel spirit. And how many know exaltation will destroy us? It's also called Leviathan. Isn't that right? Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go back to Revelation. So he said three things. I'm going to give this church. I'm going to give you power of the nations. I'm going to cause you to rule them with a rod of iron. And I'm going to give you the morning star as you overcome the Jezebel. Amen? How many know there are people on a sick bed tonight because of Jezebel? The bed of affliction, bed of disease, bed of pain. Nothing says a bed of pain. Amen? And you know, God says, I'm going to kill her children. You know what? Listen now. Listen to this. You got to listen. Sometimes God allows that bed of sickness to get your attention. How many know that's true? Now, you may be hit by the enemy. But God allows it sometimes, doesn't he? I mean, when you get on your back, you start praying pretty quick, isn't that right? Amen? And there's progression here. I won't go into that tonight. But anyway, let's go back to chapter 12. We'll leave that for the coffee, so I can preach on that. Chapter 12, notice something. This man shall rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Now, I want to show you 1, 2, 3 scriptures with this. I want to show you other scriptures with this one in chapter 12, verse 5. I want to go to Jeremiah 51. I want to show you the people here in Jeremiah 51. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 51, 20. And you know what it says? Thou art my battle axe. And the axe has to be laid to the root of the tree in our life, doesn't it? And weapons of war. For with thee, God says, will I do something. Break in pieces. Now in Revelation, he said, I'll break the nations in shivers, which means small pieces. And he said, here with this battle axe, this weapons of war. I noticed the word weapons of war. I mean, if you're going to be in the man-child, you'll know war. And you'll be the weapon of war in God's hand. Isn't that right? Notice, I will break in pieces the nations and will with thee destroy kingdoms. Now, go to Daniel 2. I want to show you this in Daniel 2, 44. Hallelujah. Daniel 2, 44. Now notice, something's being broken into pieces. Daniel 2, 44 says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms and shall stand forever. What's he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom of God that dwells in you and me. Did you hear what I'm saying? He just said it right there. The kingdom of God. In the day the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom, and this kingdom shall not be left to other people. It will break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms. And then one more scripture, Isaiah 13. On that. Praise God. Isaiah 13. And look in verse 5. Here God's calling in his reserves. How many believe he's got some reserves in the heavenlies? In verse 5, and God's bringing forth this battle, brethren. How many know God is going to bring and muster this battle, it says here. Verse 5, they come from a far country, from one end of the end of heaven, even the Lord. And notice, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. So notice, weapons of his indignation, weapons of war. Nations being broken into pieces, ruling the nations with a rod of iron. How many know we're talking about some power and authority? And that will be under the Lord himself. He's going to be the one that's going to be over that great army. Hallelujah. Back to Revelation 12. Now what happens when the man-child is called up to the throne? Now see, now I need time to go on and show you what it means to be called to the throne. How many know Jesus ministered here on the earth, walked here on the earth, and yet he lived with the Father there on the throne? Huh? Yes, he did. John was on the Isle of Patmos, come on, exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and yet he said, I was in the Spirit of the Lord's day. His feet was on the island, but yet he was there. God wants to bring us to that place. Isn't that right? How many know this walk in the Spirit is real tonight? They that are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. I want to tell you something. The sons of God don't get up in the morning and just do what they want to do. They listen to the Holy Ghost. Those that are maturing to become sons, we have not arrived yet, but those that are maturing to become sons, they are listening to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. How many want to hear the Holy Ghost? How many know we better hear the Holy Ghost? It might cost us our life if we don't hear the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? I knew a man getting on a plane one day, and the Lord said, don't get on that plane, it's going to crash. He didn't get on, he went down and got him another airlines, and the thing went down. I mean, we better listen to the Lord pretty close. Amen. But back in verse 6, he says, the woman fled somewhere. Come on, where'd she go? Into the wilderness. How many of the man-child's been through his wilderness? Come on, amen. Didn't God prepare Moses in his wilderness before he led the children of Israel out in theirs? Huh? Certainly. And how many know God's preparing this man-child right now? The man-child's in war right now. Those that's destined for the man-child people. I believe that. God only knows who they are. I don't know who they are, but God knows. You know, I believe there's a lot of people destined for the man-child don't even know anything about Revelation 12. But they're obedient to the Holy Spirit. They're submitting to God. They're getting their life cleaned up. And you know what's critical, brethren, is getting your soul open to God. How many know that's where your battle is tonight? Are you hearing me? And if you open that soul to God and let God do a work. Today, God showed me a lot of things concerning the five wise and foolish virgins. A lot of things. You check Matthew 25. There's a lot of things that's alike, that they were all alike, except one difference in their life. You know what it was? You know what the difference between the five and the wise and the foolish, the difference was? Some had an extra supply of oil. And what made the difference was midnight. They both heard the cry of the bridegroom, didn't they? They trimmed their lamps. Come on. They had oil in their lamps. They both slumbered and slept. But at midnight, which made a difference, somebody had an extra oil, a supply of oil, not only their lamp, that's their spirit, but also the vessel, which is their soul. And the other didn't. Somebody went into the marriage feast and others were kept out. The door was, some was on the inside of the door and some was on the outside of the door. Some had an intimate relationship with Jesus and some didn't. Listen, there are people that's got locked souls. They will not obey the Holy Ghost. And if you and I don't obey the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you, he cannot do that work in our soul. Amen? Now, I want you to hear what I'm going to say. As we submit to God in deliverance and whatever he demands us, our souls to God. How many know there'll be a final time when God will come in at, we'll say at midnight or whenever it is, and he'll cap that soul. The final work will be done by God himself. But he cannot do that. How many know he'll never force himself on you and I? Until the vessel's prepared and ready for God to come in. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, it says the woman fled into the wilderness where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days. The man child's going to feed this woman. Now, how many know this wilderness is not one geographical place like people teach? It's worldwide. Wilderness is a place where there's, in the natural, you know, we think there's no water. It's, you know, a lot of, well, we could go into a lot of things about it. But this thing is worldwide. Now look down to verse 13. When the dragon saw he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, the church, which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. The Greek says, the two wings of the great eagle. And Exodus 19 tells us that the Lord is that great eagle. I mean, no, that's the mind of Christ, really, we could say here. And notice, God will not desert this woman, will he? That she might fly where? Into the wilderness. Into her place. That's God's place, her place. Where she's nourished for time of time from the face of the serpent. Now notice in this chapter, you got the tail, the face, and the mouth. And it's all against the people of God. Amen. Now, what's the serpent going to do? He's going to cast out water after this woman. What is the water? This water is perversion. Look in, Jesus said when the devil speaks, he speaks a lie. And so these lies, perversion, false doctrine, all those things are going to come after this woman. And it says the earth shall open her mouth, which means the carnal realm will suck up all that old filth and trash. And God's woman will be spared. I mean, there's a lot of filth today out there. A lot of false doctrine, error in the church. Come on, that God wants to get rid of and cast out of people. You know, there's spirits of error. Come on. And wrong doctrine that gets a hold of people. We need deliverance in some areas. Amen? I mean, I believe we're all coming out of some false, wrong concepts of things. Isn't that right? Amen. Every one of us. Sure is. Now, I want to go back just a minute. I'm giving another 10 minutes. Thank you. Let's go back here. Let's go back here to verse 8. Verse 7. I'm just really hurrying tonight. You really can't hurry this chapter. Listen, this is a crucial chapter. Now, did Jesus say this? It is written in the book, in the volume of the book, what's that, Psalm 40? Let me look here just a minute. I won't misquote it. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Can I tell you something? If you're a Christian tonight, you're in chapter 12 of Revelation somewhere. You're either going to be in the woman church, the moon church, or the man-child church. Did you hear that? It's written of you. You're in chapter 12. You're going to be in one of them. Amen? You'll choose your destiny. Which one you want to be in. And I'll choose mine. God's going to bring us there, but we make a choice, don't we? Now, go back here to verse 7, just a minute. I want to touch on this a minute. There was war where? Where is this war at? This is not where God the Father is. I want to tell you where this war is. It's in you. You talking about deliverance, brother. This is where we're going to see some real deliverance here. This war in heaven is in this chapter. It's in you. It's in me. It's in your soul. It's in your body. And it says in this chapter, and when this war breaks out, when did this war break out? When the man-child went to the throne, when the woman goes into the wilderness, war breaks out as we've never seen it. I mean, no, this is going on already. But it's in a process now, but we haven't got to the ultimate of it yet. Okay? Once the man-child has come out of, or been changed, we would say, takes the throne, the woman's in the wilderness, war has broke out. Now, how many know the devil hates this end-time people? I'll tell you why. Because it's the people God's raising up to bring him down. Anybody want to be part of that? I want to be part of it, don't you? Now, look here again. Notice, and prevail not, neither was a place found any more in heaven, verse 8. And then it says something else in verse 9. The great dragon was cast out. Cast out of where? Out of heaven. Where's the heaven at? In you and me. Come on now, don't shout me down. We're here for deliverance, aren't we? That great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Notice the phrase, the old serpent. How many know Eve met him back in Genesis? And the word serpent there means enchanter. It's all the occult power coming at Eve's mind. Well, how many know just as she faced the serpent in the beginning, we're facing the serpent at the end of this age. God wants to cast the serpent, come on, the devil and Satan and all those natures of the enemy out of heaven. Where is the kingdom? It's called the kingdom of God, but also the kingdom of what? Where is the kingdom of heaven? In us. Where is this warfare? In us. In us. Now, this is going to be the climax, I believe, of real deliverance. Amen? I really believe that. And then he says something else. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come, after he's been cast out of the people of God. Amen? Now has come what? Salvation. How many know that's progressive? And strength. Come on, in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they, the man child, they're the same they in verse 6, and they overcame him, what? By the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and love not their lives unto the death. And that word lives is souls. Now come down to verse 17. I'm closing. Praise God. Verse 17. Everybody to read verse 17. For years this verse puzzled me, but it's really simple. It's really simple. Not that I say I understand it all, but I understand some of it. Let's read verse 17. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, the woman was encountered by the dragon, right? Because she's got the child. The devil wasn't after the woman, he's after the man-child. Now that he couldn't get the man-child at that particular time, now he comes back and he's mad at the woman. It says he's wroth with the woman, the church. Okay? And now he goes to make war with the remnant of her seed, or the rest of her seed. And that seed, I believe it means, like seed you'd plant, like for the next year, be the best seed you would plant. How many know she brought forth a seed? In verse 5. And I believe this verse, verse 17, is referring to the man child. Where she goes back, this enemy goes back and makes war with the remnant of her seed, or the rest of her seed, which keep what? Now look at this. The commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. And I can take you to Revelation 4:22 and show you those who keep the commandments of God have a right to the tree of life. And he says in chapter 2, verse 7, those who have the right to the tree of life are the overcomers. And the man-child are the overcomers. Yes, amen. Now, look in Revelation 11. Let's see what this war is. Look in Revelation 11. I'll close now. Okay? Here's the war right here in Revelation 11, 7. It's just simple to understand. I won't go into verse 1 through 6. But you should study that yourself. And when they shall have finished their testimony, Jesus said, it's finished. Paul said, I finished. How many want to finish? When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes out of the bottomless pit shall make what? There it is. Make war against them. Shall overcome them and kill them. Now, I teach the overcomers will die. Many of them will die. Many of the overcomers will die. We will see. How many know that right now none of us want to die? I want to live and fulfill what God's put in me. Amen? But if it takes that, how many know God will give us grace? We can't do it in our flesh. God has to give us grace. Amen? So God is bringing forth a man-child. God's bringing forth his overcomers. Praise the Lord. But right now, we're at the place where God's raising up this bride, this woman. Amen? Out of her will come forth this changed man-child, transfigured, transformed by the power of God. Today in the woman, maybe tomorrow, next week, next year in the man-child. Those that attain to that. Amen. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Huh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. but we can have whatever we desire. So again tonight, we're going to be in one of them if we're a Christian. The moon church, the woman church, the man child. Why not shoot? Let's shoot higher in the moon. Let's shoot higher in the sun. Let's shoot for the man. Let's shoot for the throne. By the grace of God and help of the Lord, we can get there. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for this great book of Revelation, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the truths you're giving us tonight. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to understand even more and more. And Lord God, we just ask that we would all attain, Lord God, to that realm where we're to be. And help us to submit to deliverance, Lord. We know without deliverance, we'll not make it. We'll not come to that place. Without, Lord, prayer, without you dealing in our lives and much repentance, Lord, turning from our wicked ways. You said the little foxes spoil the vine. So, Father, forgive us for every little thing that we're not even conscious of tonight. We're conscious of big things, Lord, but forgive us for little things, Lord. We judge our hearts even now, Lord, tonight, as we stand before you as the people of God. Forgive us, Lord, of every sin of omission and commission. Lord, every thought, every word, every deed that's crossed our heart and mind today that was not pure and was not of the Holy Spirit, God, just eradicate it and erase it from our hearts and minds, we pray. And we ask, Father, that you would bring the people in, Lord, these next few days. Prepare them, God, for whatever their needs are, Lord. We ask you to bring deliverance, healing. Lord, fill people with the Spirit, save people, whatever the needs are, Lord. Get us ready, Father. Get us ready to be, oh, Lord, the vessels of honor, not dishonor. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bill?
The Lord wakes you up, get down here, pray in the morning. We need prayer warriors. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, your word, it says in your word that we should hide it in our heart, that we sin not against thee. Help us, Lord, to study your word, to hide it in our heart. We may walk before you in righteousness and holiness. And help us to desire to study your word. To know it, Lord, to learn to rightly divide it. Father, that we'll not walk in error, but we'll walk in truth. Father, I thank you now for your word that came forth tonight. Help us to give us an understanding, Father, in the hour and the day that we live in, that the time is growing short, and that it's the time of the overcomer. It's the time of the testing. It's the time of the trial. Father, help us to be overcomers. Stand forth and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we declare that he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. Father, we thank you now for rest tonight. Thank you for raising us tomorrow to praise and to worship you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.